Hello, and welcome to episode 43 of the History of Yugoslav Football. Der Rote Stern. There are years of football which belong pretty much solely to one nation. And at the end of the 1970s, it generally belonged to West Germany. Of their six sides in European competition in the 1978-79 season, five would reach the semi-finals or later of their competition. The following season, every UEFA Cup semi-finalist would be from West Germany. Yugoslav sides would be there and thereabouts as well, playing a supporting role, but one would play a far greater role in those fortunes. Sven Zvezda. The season that follows it would not just represent the start of a new decade, but the end of multiple eras, both in football and in Yugoslavia itself. The 1970s had been a decade dominated by two sides, Hajduk and, specifically, Ivic at home, and Zvezda Fiesta abroad. And this last full season of the decade would see those stories play out for the penultimate time. In the Cup, first of all, however, Rijeka would repeat, overcoming Partizan over two legs thanks to a 2-1 win at Kantrida, with goals from Chukrov and Brusac after having overcome Zvezda in the semi-finals. Rijeka would taste limited success in their travels in the Cup Winners' Cup also, opening their campaign with a 3-2 win over Wrexham, before falling at the second hurdle to Belgian Cup winners Beveren. Domestically, however, the drama was reserved for the league as Hajduk, and for the first real time this decade, Dinamo, went head-to-head, pulling away from the rest of the league. After Hajduk's 2-1 loss to Dinamo in the 27th round, the two weren't separated by points for the remainder of the season, but Dinamo didn't lose the title then. They lost it on the opening day of the season. On that day, Dinamo lost to Rijeka, as Rijeka played Edmond Tomic, who was meant to be suspended. That 2-1 loss was then reversed to a 3-0 win for Dinamo. Then, it was reversed again. Then, on April the 13th, 1979, it was reversed again by the Regulatory Commission, then appealed, and went to the Executive Board of the FA 1 week later, who reversed the decision again. There were more U-turns than the Alpe-d'Huez. Dinamo, of course, were unhappy about this, as the result being that their 2-1 loss was actually upheld, was that Hajduk became champions once more, this time on goal difference, after Dinamo had shaken off an admittedly indifferent start to the season to roar home, fired by Zlatko Klančar and Snezko Šerin. Dinamo took the fight to the courts, and the courts ruled in Dinamo's favour, but in spite of winning the legal argument through the courts, the FA would refuse to actually reverse the decision. Hajduk, in every record, are champions of the 1978-79 season, but Dinamo will, unsurprisingly, argue that they were the moral winners, particularly given Dinamo held a better head-to-head record. And this legal nonsense would rumble on long beyond this season and would only really truly be resolved in the mid-80s. At the bottom of the table, things are intriguing also. OFK were related by a mile, but only 1 point separated NK Zagreb in the second relegation spot and Vojvodina in 12th. In the midst of that mess were none other than reigning champions Partizan, who finished 15th, only thanks to a 4-2 win over Budućnost on the final day. Had they not won, Partizan would have been relegated. Coming up for the next season will be Vardar and Šilica. Partizan's dire domestic form carried into Europe when they fell in at the first hurdle in the European Cup to Dinamo Dresden on penalties. Had they managed to get beyond the East German side, The draw would have opened up for them to the quarterfinals, given the second round opponents would have been Bohemians of Ireland, who Dresden beat 6-0. Ilya Zavisic was the one to miss that fateful final penalty. The only Yugoslav player to distinguish themselves in the competition that season would be Dusan Bajovic, now of AEK Athens, leading his side to a first-round victory over Porto before getting a consolation against eventual winners of the trophy, Nottingham Forest. So with the Cup Winners' Cup and European Cup out of the way, it leaves us with the UEFA Cup and Yugoslavia's two representatives, Hajduk and Sveta Zvezda. To deal with Hajduk first, for reasons that will become obvious, they were able to take advantage of a 2-0 first leg win to sneak past Rapid Vienna 3-2 in the first round, before coming up against Arsenal. As is perhaps traditional with Ivic's Hajduk campaigns in Europe during the 70s, Hajduk were able to get a really good result in the first leg, a 2-1 win thanks to Davar Job and Borisja Georgievich before blowing it in the away leg at Highbury after a late Willy Young goal put Hajduk out on away goals. This remains the only time in their history that Arsenal have ever qualified from a European tie on away goals in the 7 times they've had ties decided by that method. Zvezda, of course, had a much greater adventure ahead of them, and it began with a crazy tie in East Germany against BFC Dynamo. Away in the first leg, a Hans-Jürgen Riedinger hat-trick gave Dynamo a 5-2 advantage going to the Maracanã, and in spite of Riedinger opening the scoring in Belgrade, Zvezda turned it around with 4 goals in the final half hour to send Dynamo out on away goals. The second round would see a similarly tight tie, winning away in Gijon over 1-0 over Sporting before a 1-1 draw at the Maracanã, secured by an 80th minute Vladimir Petrovic goal, which took them into the third round. The reward was an assignment against the conquerors of Hajduk, Arsenal. In that round, at the Maracanã, Zvezda were dominant, but only managed a 1-0 win for their trouble, the goal coming from Svetin Blagojevic after Arsenal failed to deal with a cross across the box. It was a tight lead to take back to Highbury as the Gunners attempted to take a second Yugoslav scalp. And Alan Sunderland would peg Zvezda back with a powerful header with 20 minutes left in North London to seemingly take things into extra time. But Arsenal didn't bargain on Dule Savic, who came into the box with a late run to round off an excellent team move set free by Petkovic and Blagojevic. It would set Zvezda up with another tie against an English club. This time, West Brom. And much like Arsenal, their quarterfinal tie would begin with a home leg at the Maracanã. In the first leg, the goal would come late in front of a full 95,000 capacity Maracanã, and the young Black Stars of the Baggies would test Zvezda perhaps more than Arsenal managed across their two legs, limiting the Belgrade side to set-piece chances, and the last of those would prove fatal. Conceding a central free kick 20 yards out with 5 minutes left, Dule Savic belted a low, dipping shot into the corner, leaving the keeper absolutely helpless. The away leg at the Hawthorns would be just like that at Highbury. Cyril Regis would level the tie with a volley from close range, but then Milos Sestic would leave it late again with 2 minutes to go, as Zvezda broke and a through ball to Sestic set him into the box to barrel through a challenge and slot home to put Zvezda into the semi-finals, the only non-West German side to make it that far. Hertha Berlin would be the Titanic Teutonic task ahead of them. And for the fourth round in a row, Zvezda would begin the tie with a 1-0 first leg win. Unlike prior rounds, however, Zvezda actually got started early. A disallowed goal would be immediately followed by a fluffed goal kick, which ended up with Dule Savic sending a diving header into the net on 7 minutes. Hertha, however, were made of stern stuff and fashioned plenty of chances of their own, but Zvezda would go to Berlin and to the Olympiastadion with a 1-goal lead. That second leg in Berlin would take place amid near monsoon conditions, with the athletics track around the pitch resembling less an Olympic athletics venue and more an Olympic swimming pool. With doubt over the game going ahead, the teams were brought onto the pitch for what would be a dramatic and soggy occasion, and Hertha would settle much the better. Erik Beer would score with under 2 minutes on the clock, as Zvezda tried to pass around on a pitch holding up. Hertha simply went direct to Beer, and he was able to smash home from 20 yards. Things would soon get worse. Lax marking and then lax goalkeeping from a corner would allow Wolfgang Sitka to sneak a header in. Zvezda were behind and having to score away from home yet again. With 15 minutes to go, a deep cross would be sent into the box, nodded back across the goal, and Sestic would be there following up to hammer it home and to take the lead on away goals, a lead that would not be relinquished. A decade that had begun with European semi-final heartbreak for Sviena Zvezda would end with their first and Yugoslavia's third major European final. Their opponents would be perhaps one of the most challenging tasks imaginable. Borussia Mönchengladbach. In the previous decade, Mönchengladbach had won 5 Bundesliga titles and was second the season prior. This was to be their fourth European final of the 70s, having won the UEFA Cup in 74-75 and been European Cup runners-up 2 years later. Zvezda were European upstarts fighting against European royalty. Like most European finals, it's possible to rewatch the full games online for both legs of the final tie, and they tell perhaps a different story than the result itself would eventually show. The tie opened at the Maracanã with a flowing open game. Sestic would crack the post early from an acute angle before opening the scoring himself, turning in a low near post cross to give Zvezda what was at the time a well-deserved lead in 22 minutes. Chances would continue to come Zvezda's way as the West German side seemed incapable of dealing with Petrovic and Muslin down the right-hand side. Dule Savic would have a penalty appeal turned down as, while Mönchengladbach began to settle into the game, Zvezda were irresistible in the first half. Kulik would be the first to threaten for the West Germans, forcing Stojanovic into a Hollywood save from a volley from the edge of the box. Half-time was likely a sweet release from the German players, but Zvezda simply picked up where they left off, targeting that right flank, and that route brought a good chance for Miroslav Lievic early in the second half, with Nikola Jovanovic charging into the box from right back to force another good save moments later. At this point, just before the hour mark, the result seemed in little doubt. Zvezda were ragdolling one of the best sides in Europe with relatively simple but well-executed wing play. Fate, however, would not be on their side. On the hour, Mönchengladbach would get a bit of territory and Horst Wöllers would send in a cross from deep. Ivan Juricic, with a runner in behind him, would make a diving header to attempt to clear it, but instead sent it into his own bottom corner, leaving Dike Stojanovic with absolutely no chance of saving it. It barely changed the overall flow of the game as Zvezda continued to press, continued to put balls into channels and continued to have the better of the game. Petrovic and Jovanovic would both have excellent late chances, but the game would end 1-1, with West Germany's falls scarcely escaping with their chances intact. A fortnight later, at the Rheinstadion, Zvezda needed to get the result their dominance at the Maracanã had earned. Instead, they added another hard luck story. On 16 minutes, Simonsen would receive a deep corner, control it into the box, and run into Juricic. Juricic would come across, take the ball cleanly, and Simonsen would go down in what UK commentary would describe as, quote, as harsh a penalty as you'll see anywhere. Simonsen picked up the ball and sent the keeper the wrong way to put Mönchengladbach ahead. The game, unsurprisingly, was more even than in Belgrade. Goes would have a fabulous chance to make it 2-0, saved when put through, and then Hannes would flick a header, forcing another great save to keep Fiesta in the tie into the second half. At that point, the Hail Marys started coming out. Mira Savlievich would turn over from 8 yards out. Muslin would crack the bar from the edge of the box with a great shot, but the wide dominance of the Maracanã was not replicated in the Rhineland. A deep corner would produce a volley just wide from Sestich, a smash would fall to Muslin, who slipped it wide when it was easier to score. And that would be that. After bossing the play in Belgrade, after chance in West Germany, Sveners Fiesta would lose the final courtesy of an unlucky own goal and an at best debatable penalty. It would be a turning point for the club in two ways, one immediate, one much later on. The immediate was that Sveners Fiesta were determined for this sort of thing not to happen again, and became a bit more short-termist for the next few years. It eventually wouldn't work, and the second impact was that it took the pain of this defeat and the comparative failure of the changes that directly followed it for Sviesta to reassess and build a generation that would win it all over a decade later. But that, however, is for a much later episode. Because next time on the history of Yugoslav football, we wave goodbye to the 1970s once and for all and say goodbye to something else entirely. Thank you for listening. If you would like to leave a review on iTunes or whichever podcast service you use, they are more than welcome. Sharing is caring, as we do. I do try to teach my 6 and 4 year old. See, just to let you know sort of how things are panning out with the next couple of episodes. Next episode will be a proper timeline episode. Then the following episode is a bit of a pause because of what we will cover in the next episode. And then, of course, we hit the 1980s full on from episode 46 onwards. And I promise you, it will be a very wild ride, as anyone with a cursory knowledge of history in the region will know. Until next time, I'll catch you then.